It's Central Time. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferris. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we'll learn about an ancient city that was discovered here in the Midwest.
First, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld an earlier court's decision to block President Trump's controversial immigration and travel ban. The order was met with protests nationwide and court challenges almost immediately after its rollout.
The Trump administration argues that it is necessary for national security, while opponents have argued it prevented already vetted green card holders and refugees from entering the country legally.
Matt Ford joins us now to talk about the ruling. He's an associate editor at The Atlantic and has been covering this news. Matt, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's go through this three-judge panel ruling. What did we learn from yesterday's opinion?
Well, yesterday's opinion was quite a severe setback for the Trump administration in its legal battle over the executive order. The most important thing was that the temporary ban issued by a lower court judge on the executive order's enforcement will stay in effect for the immediate future. Because this decision was made by the Ninth Circuit, which is one of the federal courts of appeals, the only group that can overturn it is the Supreme Court.
And taking a look at arguments on both sides here, what were the arguments from the opponents to the ban?
Well, the states of Washington and Minnesota brought the lawsuit, and their claims were multiple. The most important one that they made was that it would severely affect their tax base and their economies by impairing the ability of their state's residents who were born outside of the country to travel back and forth into the country. They also claimed, in a more serious aspect of it, that the ban itself violated the 14th Amendment's protections on equal rights, as well as the First Amendment's prohibitions against discrimination on religious grounds.
And Justice Department attorneys argued the president's authority was, quote, unreviewable. Can you explain this?
Right. So the courts have traditionally granted the federal government very broad latitude on issues of immigration, on issues of foreign policy, and on issues of national security. Judges typically say that they're ill-equipped to make the sort of determinations that go into dealing with foreign countries. But in this case, the judges countered by noting that not only did they have the constitutional authority to review the decisions, but that the federal government itself had presented insufficient evidence to justify giving them the latitude they wanted on these national security determinations.
And what other things did the Trump administration argue to the panel in this?
Well, the Trump administration pointed to a federal statute that gives the president the authority to exclude classes of aliens that he may deem necessary to exclude on national security grounds for the safety of the United States. But the federal courts looked at this and they said that he has made an insufficient application, that this would justify lifting the executive order's injunction, the injunction against enforcing the executive order, rather, because of the injury that could result to the people caught up in it, international students traveling to public universities, for example. People who are applying to the refugee program would also be caught up in this. And because the injury to the plaintiffs in the case, to Washington and Minnesota, outweighed the impact for the federal government, they ruled in favor of the states.
Once this ruling came up, President Trump tweeted his displeasure at the decision, saying, "See you in court. The national security of our nation is at stake." What court are we talking about here? Where does this go?
That's a very good question. And the honest answer is we don't know yet. President Trump has multiple options he could pursue. The logical one would be to go to the Supreme Court and seek review there. But that has risks. The Supreme Court only has 8 members now, and if the court deadlocks in a 4-4 vote, the Ninth Circuit's ruling will be the final say on this part of the issue. Alternatively, he could go back to the lower court, where the judge issued the restraining order against him, and try and go to the merits of the case. The ruling that came out yesterday was on whether or not the restraining order should be left in place until those merits can be heard. If he believes that it's not a fruitful battle to fight the restraining order, he may seek to move on instead to fight the meat of the case itself and try and win on those grounds.
What did the court not consider in regards to this case? What were things that were left out of this decision?
Well, one of the most important aspects that the court declined to consider was whether or not this was discrimination on religious grounds. Now, this is a preliminary matter, so that doesn't mean they can't review it in the at a later hearing. But what the Ninth Circuit did was said that the states had already proven there would be enough injury to themselves on the basis of equal protection. So therefore, they reserved consideration of the religious discrimination grounds for later hearing. At the same time, they did note that President Trump and some of his associates had referred to this as a Muslim ban, and the courts can consider that as evidence of bias when determining whether or not a law is discriminatory.
We're talking with Matt Ford. He's an associate editor at The Atlantic, and he's been covering this news about the controversial immigration and travel ban. And as we heard yesterday, a ruling coming out from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld an earlier court's decision to block President Trump's travel ban. Matt, as you're following this, what are some of the takeaways before President Trump here as he goes forward? This is an early loss. Where do you see this going from here?
Well, this is an important loss for him because while other courts may decline to impose their own restraining orders, no other court other than the Supreme Court now can lift the one imposed by Judge Robart in Seattle. At the same time, we've also seen President Trump be willing to criticize the judiciary much more directly than many of his predecessors, and that raises the questions of whether he will continue to do so and whether or not he intends to perhaps even defy the court's orders.
And as this plays out in the days and weeks ahead, the Justice Department has said it is going back and reviewing this ruling. What are they looking at in particular about this three-judge panel opinion? What could they be stewing about?
Well, the most important aspect for them to consider is what arguments the court may have rejected of theirs and what arguments they didn't address. Now, the ones they didn't address was the religious discrimination grounds. And on that regard, that gives the federal government an advantage because it can go back to the lower court and say that, look, nobody has ruled yet on whether or not this constitutes religious discrimination one way or the other. At the same time, they also can retool some of their arguments based on what the court did rule against them. For example, on standing, the court did say that the states, because their higher education systems would be impacted by the executive order, they had standing to challenge it in court. Now, that gives the federal government an advantage because it can go back and say, well, you've given them grounds to challenge it on this, but you can also, by that, limit the impact that the state can have. For example, the state could only challenge those parts of the executive order that affect students on visas, for example, and leave intact parts that deal with, for example, Syrian refugees.
And this is a moving target. President Trump said even just in recent remarks here this afternoon that there will be something coming forth very soon about national security. What do you have your eye on?
Well, the most important thing that we'll have to look at with regard to this controversy is whether or not he'll draft another executive order to replace this one. On one hand, that could give him a chance to kind of iron out some of the constitutional and legal wrinkles that have arisen with his executive order. There have been lots of reports saying that this one was drafted pretty hastily, that it didn't go through sufficient review by the Justice Department before it was being issued. So if they go back and go through those processes, it could give them an advantage in defending another order in federal court in the future. But beyond that, we really don't know. The administration has been very opaque about what it intends to do on national security grounds, so it could either revisit this order or it could tackle another issue of national security.
Oh, we'll be watching. Matt, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Matt Ford is an associate editor at The Atlantic. He joined us this afternoon to talk about the appeals court ruling, which upheld an earlier ruling barring President Trump's immigration order.